WMFO Medford. Unlike milk, long-distance telephone calls, and library books, there is no due date, tolls, or expiration in the grand hour. Pre-recorded.
Thank you, Henry. Good morning. It's the 24th of June, 2020. Today, I'm going to have a double feature of yours truly, Johnny Dollar. On the air, the Encyclopedia of Old Time Radio referred to yours truly, Johnny Dollar, as having more lives than a cat, lasting 14 seasons with a lot of issues between them. There was 5 or 6 stars of the show. For the first half, I'm going to play episode 41, The Man Who Rode Himself to Death, starring Edmund O'Brien. This had an original air date of the 21st of March, 1950.
From Hollywood, it's time now for Edmund O'Brien as...
Johnny Dollar.
Mr. Dollar, this is Miss Ramey, Legal Department, Britannia Casualty and Life.
Oh, yeah, Miss Ramey. Thanks for calling back. I just wanted to get something straight. If a murderer is executed, does his policy pay off?
As far as I know, yes, but we've never faced the situation.
Well, put on your makeup. It's liable to happen any minute.
Edmund O'Brien in another transcribed adventure of the man with the action-packed expense account. America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to Britannia Casualty and Life, Hartford, Connecticut. The following is an accounting of expenditures during my investigation of Stuart Palmer, the man who wrote himself to death. Expense account, item 1, $123.42, air and miscellaneous travel expenses from Hartford to Chicago and the Cook County Jail.
Well, you can make up your own mind about him, Dollar. He's like all those writers. If he isn't guilty, he's crazy.
How are you, Lieutenant?
Oh, hi, Markowitz. This is Mr. Dollar.
Hello, how are
you, Mr. Dollar?
It's an insurance dick. He wants to talk to Palmer. Call him out, will you?
Sure thing, Lieutenant. Hey, Palmer, your mother's here.
I'll see you on your way out, Dollar.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Lieutenant.
Here's your boy, Mr. Dollar. You'll have to talk to him through the bridge.
Stuart Palmer?
Yeah.
My name is Dollar. Britannia Casualty and Life sent me out here. I understand you're in some difficulty. Is there anything I can do to help
you? You didn't come here to help me. You came to investigate my new policy.
Now, look.
I don't need your help or anybody else's. I paid my first premium. That's all you or the company need be concerned about.
They're concerned about the fact that you're being held on suspicion of murder.
That doesn't affect the policy.
Have you retained counsel?
That's none of your business.
Thanks for the cooperation. Nice to meet friends in a strange city. You can have them, Markowitz.
Thanks.
Well, Dollar, lovable, isn't he?
What have you got on him?
Oh, not much. Some wino was killed in the Clark Street pool room. Palmer was holding one of the cues. We pulled him in with about 14 others.
When are you going to release him?
We're not sure. He's been in before, you know.
Tell me, what's the matter with him?
Who knows? He's a writer. Crime stuff. Hangs around the West Madison District a lot of the time. Calls it research.
Does he still have that Kenwood address?
Wait a sec. 5715.
Well, I hope his wife is jollier than he is.
Oh, Mr. Martin, I was... Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were somebody else.
I am. My name is Dollar. I'm an insurance investigator.
Well, I'm sorry. We have all the insurance we can use.
I said investigator. I want to talk to you about your husband.
Oh, come in. Why do you do this to him? I know why. It's like he says. You're all after him. You don't like him because he's a genius. You don't understand him. You'll never understand
him.
Now,
wait a minute.
You can try all you want to. As Stuart says, when one human being does something better than another human being, that's when they attack him. Well, go ahead.
Look, Mrs. Palmer, I'm on your side. I'm not the police.
Oh.
Now, why don't you sit down? I'll explain the whole thing to you. Come on. That's better. Now, your husband took out a $100,000 life insurance policy last week.
Well, there's certainly nothing wrong with that.
Mrs. Palmer, please. This week, your husband is arrested on suspicion of murder.
There, now, you see? You don't know anything about him, and already you're accusing him of the most awful thing.
I am not accusing him of anything, Mrs. Palmer. I'm just trying to help. I talked with your husband a little while ago. He wasn't very cooperative. I'd hoped you would be.
Well, you put him in jail, and then you expect him to be cooperative.
Does he have a lawyer?
Yes, of course. Mr. Martin. That's who I thought you were.
Well, how does Mr. Martin feel about this?
Well, he's been very nice. Stuart isn't worried. Stuart knows that Mr. Martin can spring him any time he wants to.
I see. What does your husband write? Books?
Well, he used to write for the radio. But as he says, it's a very limited medium. So one morning he went to his agent and tore that contract up right in his face. And that very day he started to write his play. 140 pages.
Uh-huh.
With real people in every scene. He took every one of them from life.
Is the play about crime?
Well, how did you know that?
Well, I met your husband doing a little research in jail.
Well, they put him in jail because they don't understand. As he says, they don't put a doctor to bed in a hospital because he's doing research on a dangerous disease. People don't know good from evil. That's what's wrong. They're afraid of the truth, and that's what Stuart writes. He practically lives with his subjects.
Criminals?
Yes, he studies them. Nobody can write believably about something unless they're familiar with it. That's the sacrifice he makes.
You don't get to see much of him, do you?
Well, his work is infinitely more important than I am. But as soon as his play is produced, we're going away together. Atlantic City or Bermuda. The manuscript has been in New York for 6 months now, so it shouldn't be long before he hears.
What has your husband's income been for the past 6 months?
Well, there hasn't been much. But great art is often born of poverty.
But $100,000 insurance policies aren't. Who's this man, Neil Beasley, your co-beneficiary?
Co-beneficiary? Well, if you're going to sit here and be insulting, perhaps you'd better leave.
Well, perhaps I'd better. You mentioned an agent. What's his name?
George Michaelkoff. He's in the Ingram building.
Crazy. The guy is crazy. You can't do business with a guy like that. Art, he talks. Everything's got to be art. Spends his time with bums, and he calls it art.
Hasn't he done anything for 6 months, Mr. Michaelkoff?
Not with me. Well, let's face it. Not with nobody. You know, he could have been a good writer, this boy. But he was too arty, not commercial. Then, boom, he's got to write a play. And where is it? Probably in the bottom drawer of Halstein's desk. And it's going to stay there. Here's a copy. Take it along and read it.
Thanks. What about this research he does?
Research? Is that what he told you? I had to go down to the county jail and bail him out. Twice. That's what washed me up. Someday they're going to catch him with the goods on him. You know, maybe it started out to be research, but it ain't now.
Well, how did it start?
With a guy named Neil Beasley.
Neil Beasley?
Oh, you heard of him, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the boy. He took Palmer under his wing, and that's where he still is. I don't know. Maybe he can't get out. Beasley came up to the office with Palmer once. What a character.
Where does this Beasley hang out, you know?
Who knows? Nasty neighborhoods.
Expense account, item 2, 80 cents, cab fare to a nasty neighborhood. After a lot of questions and bad bourbon, I came across a character who called himself Roscoe. Roscoe was the walking who's who of the district. When I mentioned the name Beasley, he swallowed his drink, wiped the back of his hand over his mouth, and leaned over the table toward me.
Beasley. Beasley. Let's see. Beasley.
Come on, here. Here's something to stimulate your memory.
Oh, yes, of course. Beasley, Neil Beasley. Been a friend of mine for years. Slipped my mind. Getting old. Beasley was born in Cincinnati of well-to-do parents. They say he attended Harvard, but perhaps it's only a story. You know how stories start.
Skip the history. Where can I find him?
Any number of places. If the racetrack was open, you'd find him there, but the racetrack ain't open. There is his place of residence.
Where is that?
I don't know. But he must live somewhere.
Obviously. What would you suggest?
You familiar with the Atomic Tavern up the street?
Oh, I'm a stranger in town.
Peoria?
No.
You have the face of a Peoria salesman. I don't know, something in the eye. Yes, well, the Atomic Tavern up the street.
Thanks, Roscoe.
You never did say where you were from.
Hartford, Connecticut. If you're ever in town, look me up. Four blocks away, squeezed between a delicatessen and a shoe parlor, I came upon the Atomic Tavern. It exploded just as I arrived.
And stay out. That's no name to call a lady. Oh, come right in, sir. Come in. Anybody with a civil tongue is welcome, sir.
Thanks.
Here, boys.
Neil Beasley around?
Eh? Who wants him?
Name is Johnny Dollar. I'm a friend of Stuart Palmer's.
Well, you tell him that. He's at the back table there. All right, boys, come on. What do you have?
Don't bother me. And he didn't bother me anymore.
Your name, Beasley?
Boy, I love
him. Mr. Beasley. Who are you?
Mr. Dollar.
What's your business, Dollar?
Insurance, investigation end. Can I sit down? I'm working for a company that holds a policy on the life of Stuart Palmer.
Insurance racket. I wonder how it started. I suppose somebody back in Rome bet Julius Caesar 10 drachmas he wouldn't live through the 15th of March and won. What do you want with me?
Well, I'm looking for somebody who'll make some sense. Maybe you're it. I understand you're Palmer's beneficiary.
That's right. He's a good boy.
Yeah, but he's not a good risk. The company insures a radio writer. I come out here and learn he's a petty criminal.
What's your problem, Dollar? Why don't you cancel the policy?
Well, I will if I can. Tell me, what got him started?
Well, put yourself in his place. He spends a lot of time around here learning so he can write good stuff. He writes good stuff, so good they won't buy it, so he falls back on his education.
That's logical, but illegal.
Oh, they'll get him. They'll get me, too. It's fate. The bumps on your head, the lines in your hands, the stars, destiny. Who can stop it?
Well, that's quite a philosophy you've got. I was looking toward the front of the building. I hadn't seen him come in, but it was Stuart Palmer. He was standing at the elbow of the bar, obviously looking for his friend. When he spotted me, he started for the door.
Oh, sit down, Dollar.
That's my arm, Beasley.
Sit down and leave him alone. The cops released him. Just leave him alone. Let go, Beasley.
Oh!
By the time I got outside, he was half a block away, heading west. I knocked over several West Madison Street characters, and then it suddenly occurred to me that the only reason I was chasing him was because he was running away from me. I was 50 feet behind him when he rounded a Walgreens drugstore on the corner.
Read all about it, Edson.
For a second, I lost him. Then I saw him. He wasn't running. He was turned toward me. Palmer! Don't! The crowd! I bent over the newsboy just long enough to see that he was dead. And I started after Palmer again. There was no mistake about it. He wanted that policy, and he'd kill to keep it.
In just a moment, we will return to the second act of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. But first, the screen's sophisticated, caustic Mr. Belvedere, alias Clifton Webb, will swap quips with Bing Crosby on the Groner CBS show this Wednesday night. CBS cordially invites you to hear this great show that promises some of the best laughs of the season when it comes your way on most of these same CBS stations this Wednesday night. Mildred Bailey, the rocking chair lady of popular song, also will be on hand as guest star. So, remember, be listening when Clifton Webb, Mildred Bailey, and Bing Crosby get together tomorrow night. Now, with our star, Edmund O'Brien, we return to the second act of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar.
I lost Palmer in the next block. If daylight had held for a little longer, maybe I could have stopped the whole thing. I looked at my watch. It was 6:05. The Hartford office was closed. I headed back for a phone in the Walgreens drugstore. I got to the corner just as the police and the person of Lieutenant Carrigan pulled up.
All right, you people. Fair away. Fair away.
Dollar, what the devil are you doing here? Look at that kid, Carrigan, lying there. If you hadn't let that maniac out, the boy would still be hawking his papers.
Hey, wait a minute. Back off. What are you talking about?
Who do you think did it? Palmer.
Palmer? Are you sure?
Yeah, he was shooting at me. What'd you let him out for?
Oh, look, Dollar, there are laws. I told you earlier we didn't have much on him. He was clear.
Well, you're sure not clear on this one. Huh. kid only had 3 papers left.
I think you better tell me what happened, Dollar.
Well, let's move away from here.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, folks, why don't you go home? Come on, move, huh?
I don't know what there is about people.
They're just glad it wasn't their kid. Well, here's the tale. I came down here to find a guy named Neil Beasley, a friend of Palmer's. Palmer showed up in the joint. When he saw me, he made a dash up the street. I took out after him, and when I got to the corner, he opened up. The kid was standing next to me. After the gunfire, I went after Palmer again. Believe me, I wish I'd caught him.
Yeah. Sergeant?
Yes, Lieutenant.
Put out a general on Stuart Palmer. All the dopes in my office.
Yes.
Why would he want to kill you?
That's $100,000 question, Lieutenant. I'll be in the drugstore. Gotta make a phone call. Sandal?
Yes?
Sorry to bother you at home. I'm on the Palmer case out of your Hartford office.
Oh, yes. Mr. Dollar, isn't it?
That's right.
How are you making out?
Well, things couldn't be worse. Your only move is to cancel the policy, sir. How soon can you do that? On good grounds?
Well, I couldn't get word from the East until tomorrow afternoon at the earliest.
Well, if you can't do it tonight, just forget the whole thing.
Well, I don't understand.
Well, the police have put out a general alarm for the policyholder, dead or alive. And the odds are on the bad side.
Oh, all right, Dollar. I'll do what I can. I'll get on the phone to Hartford as soon as I hang up.
Good. I won't keep you waiting. Bye. Expense account item 4. $1.80 cab fare back to Mrs. Palmer's apartment. On the way, I suppose I should have been worried about the $100,000 worth of policy. But that didn't seem to bother me. There was the newsboy who never knew what hit him. And there was Palmer's wife. I was going to have to tell her about it. But I knew even before I got to the apartment that she'd never believe me.
I don't believe you.
Of course you don't. And you don't want to. You don't want to believe anything bad about him. You want to just go on complimenting yourself on being married to the greatest man on earth. But you're way wrong. Where is he?
I don't know. And you can't make me believe you. Why would he kill anybody?
Well, my guess is that he's doing it for you.
Oh, that's a terrible thing to say. He wouldn't do anything wrong, even for me.
He took out an insurance policy that he couldn't afford. Why do you think he did that?
I don't know. I never understood about business.
Well, he sure got you. Some people have collie dogs, and he's got you. He comes home, pats you on the head, so you'll look up at him and tell him how wonderful he is. You know why? Because nobody else will.
You just don't understand. You just don't understand at all.
How long has it been since he treated you like a woman? Bought you things like candy, flowers. When was the last time he spent an evening with you?
Why are you saying these things?
Well, I'm trying to tell you that he failed, both as a writer and as a husband. Don't you see? He's trying to make it up to you. He wants the police to kill him so you'll collect the insurance.
That's a lie.
Where is he, Marion?
Oh. Hello? Yes? No, he's here now. Why do you say that? No. Stuart, where are you? He hung up.
Well, look who's here. I wish Palmer was as easy to find as you are.
You won't find him here.
Does she know where he is?
No, he just phoned her and wouldn't tell her.
Well, looks like a long night.
Yeah, for her too. Mind if I ride back to the Madison District with you?
That's quite a theory, Dollar. What happens to a guy to get him in a mess like this?
I don't know. Burned too many bridges, I guess. Made a stand with his agent. Told everybody he'd show him he was right. Now he can't do it.
Oh, people. I don't know. Maybe I've been in homicide too long. I used to think a lot about things like this. You know, wonder about what started these characters, what got them to the place where I'd have to go after them. No more. Their problems aren't mine. All I worry about now is how to get them without getting anybody else hurt.
You've got a nice, simple job, Lieutenant Carrigan.
Yeah. I was thinking of that. You want him alive?
The insurance company does.
I hope it works out for you. I can't take any chances. We always try to save him for a trial. But if you're right about this one, he'll come out with a gun. Those are the kind we have to stop.
You know, this could turn into a very unpleasant situation. The lieutenant was kind enough to drop me at the Atomic Tavern. The place was empty. The sirens had frightened most of the clientele out of the precinct. All except one. He sat in the same position, at the same table, with what looked like the same glass of beer. Hello, Beasley.
Mr. Beasley. I was expecting you. Sit down.
Thanks.
How is the insurance business?
Well, sometimes we sell too much. You know where Palmer is?
Surely, always know where Palmer is. He tells me things he wouldn't tell anyone else.
You may not care, Mr. Beasley, but you just made yourself an accessory to insurance fraud.
Not unless I tell the police where he is. And then your company is out the $100,000.
And you're in $10,000.
I'll tell you the truth. I don't want that money. I don't want a penny of that money. Looked good at first. He wanted to give his wife a break. Offered me $10,000 to help him out.
How did you help him out?
Well, take right now, for instance. I could have tipped the cops twice a minute since it happened. In fact, I was supposed to. Cops would have killed him. Wife and I would have collected our money. But I can't do it.
Isn't it a little late for boy scouting?
No. No, not if you could talk him out of it.
Where is he?
No cops.
No cops.
Just as soon as I finish my beer.
We walked down Halstead with the red streetcars rumbling by and the fruit trucks and the chicken wagons. I didn't notice the name of the street we turned west on, but a block and a half later, we stopped, two doors away from a basement barbershop.
Well, that's where he is. You're crazy to go in there.
Are you staying out here?
No. No, I'm going in. But I'm crazy, too.
Really?
That's why you should never listen to a guy like me. Palmer's got nothing to lose. How much do they pay you for getting killed?
Come on, if you're going, let's go.
Okay. Palmer, it's Beasley. Let me in.
Good work, Neil. Bring him in, quick.
You've got a good line, Beasley.
Mr. Beasley, so good I believe it myself.
What's that supposed to mean?
Oh, Palmer, it's a bad deal all the way around. What do you want to do, make history? You won't go down in any books.
What's got into you? You helped me lay out the whole thing.
Oh, yes, it looked good, but it won't work.
He's right, Palmer, it won't work. I put through a cancellation request on your policy.
But it hasn't gone through yet. If it had, you wouldn't have come in here.
It's no good, Palmer. Even if it doesn't come through, they'll fight it in court after you're dead. We've got too much against you.
How far will they get without your testimony? You aren't going to be around to give it.
Well, that's no good either. If you kill me, that'll clinch it. Oh, come on, use your head, Palmer. You've got a chance. The newsboy is only a second-degree rap. There was no premeditation.
You're trying awful hard to save that company of yours $100,000.
Listen, there isn't a commission big enough to make me come here.
All right, then why did you come?
I don't know. Maybe because way back in my mind, I thought to myself, I can get to this guy. Maybe it was your wife that made me come. I just saw her, Palmer. You know, you aren't doing her any favors by getting yourself killed. She loves you too much. You can't buy a thing like that off with $100,000.
They're coming. I didn't tip them. They must have followed us down.
It doesn't make any difference how they get here. Just so they come. They'll watch it, Dollar. Stay away from me. Nobody's going to stop me now. This is what they all wanted. Like the big literary agent with the big promises. Great play, he tells me. Yes, of the old friends. They'll cut the story out of the papers and they'll save it in the desk drawer. Poor Stu, they'll say. He could have been a good boy. Well, all right, they can save it. It's gonna pay off. That's what counts.
It won't pay off, and you know it. The only guy that wants it this way is you, because you haven't got the guts to go on.
Armour, we know you're in there. We'll give you 30 seconds, Palmer.
I'll be right out.
Palmer, it's waste, Palmer. It's for nothing.
It's no use, Dollar. He's going to do it. Better lie down on the floor.
Stuart, are you in there?
Marion. Marion, get away from here.
I want to talk to you, Stuart. Open the door.
No. Come on in here. Marion, what are you doing here?
You're the lieutenant. Don't do it, Stuart. I don't want money that way.
Wait a minute. Did they make you come in here?
No, no, I wanted to come. Don't do it, Stuart. Please.
Goodbye, Marion.
Stuart, don't go. Stuart, come back.
Let go of me.
Stuart!
Get down on the floor.
No!
Come on,
no,
get down. No. There's nothing you can do.
Stop, Palmer. Stop.
As you know, Palmer's policy was not canceled before he died. But I'm sure that with a staff of legal geniuses employed by the Britannia Company, you'll come out all right. A soft judge gave Beasley 60 days for attempted insurance fraud, and that was it. Expense account item 6, same as item 1, transportation Chicago to Hartford. Expense account total, $635.24. Oh, almost forgot. Item 7. 35 cents tip to Western Union boy. Telegram from Marion Palmer. Contents? Thought you'd like to know. Stewart's play accepted for production on Broadway. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, stars Edmund O'Brien in the title role and is written by Gil Dowd and David Ellis, with music composed and conducted by Leith Stevens. Edmund O'Brien can currently be seen in the Harry M. Popkin United Artists production, DOA. Featured in tonight's cast were Loreen Tuttle, Larry Dobkin, Bill Boucher, Bill Gray, Jack Crucian, and Herb Butterfield. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, is produced and directed by Jaime Del Valle.
That may be very well and good, but I recall Edmund O'Brien portraying Freddie Sykes in Sam Peckinpah's Wild Bunch, which would have been 19 years after he starred as Johnny Dollar. Again, that was the man who wrote himself to death with an original air date of the 21st of March, 1950. We're going to take some time now to fulfill an FCC obligation.
A social distancing tip.
Keeping your distance from others is important in slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are some fun things to do alone. Read a book. Take a walk. Unpack your suitcase from that trip you took last September. Paint a self-portrait. Catch up on a TV series. Do a puzzle. Remember, we should all stay home to lower the risk for everyone. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Okay. Coming up next, here on the Grand Hour with Arthur, which you're listening to on 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org. Get the second half of the program. It's another Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. This one is episode 632, The Fairweather Friend, starring Bob Bailey, which by all consensuses was the best Johnny Dollar. This one had an original air date of the 12th of April, 1959.
It's time now for...
Johnny Dollar.
Hi there, Johnny. This here is Sidewinder Wilson.
Oh, well, what can I... Who did you say?
Sidewinder Wilson. You know, out here in Bumswung, Oklahoma.
Oh, wait a minute. You mean that old friend of Durango Laramie Delhart?
I sure do. Unless you've forgotten it, I'm the man that helped you find Durango that time he disappeared.
Sure, of course you did, Sidewinder. If it hadn't been for you, he'd never have found the old coat.
Yes, sir.
Well, what's on your mind?
Well, if you should just happen to mosey out here to Bumswung... Well, Johnny, I think I could show you something that'd make your eyes pop out all over your head.
Sidewinder, is this an insurance matter?
Nah, you don't think I'd be calling on you if it wasn't, do you?
What's it all about?
Well, I'll tell you when you get here.
Well, now, Sidewinder,
I'll be waiting for you at Durango's ranch. So long, Johnny.
Well, now, wait a minute. Sidewinder.
Bailey, in the intriguing adventures of a man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator...
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
With your permission, we'd like to talk shop for just a moment. CBS Radio Shop. Recently, one of the foremost publications in the broadcasting field polled 465 critics and editors. The question... Which radio network programs do you rate tops? When the answers from these 465 experts were tabulated, the final ratings were, to put it mildly, overwhelmingly one-sided. Total honors accorded CBS radio programs exceeded those of all the other networks combined. Let's put it another way. The final verdict of hundreds of critics, reviewers, and editors was that CBS radio had more top shows than all other networks put together. CBS Radio was pleased, naturally, at the result of the poll, but not surprised. Great programming is no accident. It's long been a policy of this network to devote every effort to maintaining highest broadcast standards, to making sure CBS Radio listeners hear the best entertainment, the most authoritative information. Whatever listening fare is for you, you can be sure you're hearing the best when you're tuned to CBS Radio. And now, Act One of yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to Floyd's of England, North American Office, Hartford, Connecticut. Following is an account of expenses incurred during my investigation of the Fairweather Friend matter. All of Durango's insurance was handled by Floyd's of England, so that would have to be the company that Sidewinder was talking about. Expense account item one, $1.20 for a taxi to Floyd's headquarters in Hartford in the office of George Reed.
Well, this is a switch, Johnny. You're coming here.
George, I just got a call from that town out in Oklahoma with the unlikely name of Bumswung.
The old Indian name, I understand. It means bad spring, bad water.
Yeah, it was from a friend of Durango Laramie Dalhart's, an old character by the name of Sidewinder Wilson.
You know, of course, that Durango was here a few days ago.
Here in Hartford, and he didn't drop in to see me?
He dropped in to pay the $4,500 premium on that insurance he carries for the benefit of his niece, Carol Dalhart. He must think an awful lot of that girl.
Yeah? Well, who wouldn't?
What?
George, that Carol's a living doll. If I were ever to think seriously of getting married, well, believe me.
Well, what's the hitch? Does old Durango object?
Object? Far from it. Hey, tell me, did he pay off that premium in the usual brand new $100 bill?
Yes, and as usual, he peeled them off a roll that was big enough to choke a horse. Johnny, why that man carries so much cash around with him... Now, what did this fellow Wilson call you about?
Sidewinder wouldn't tell me.
Well, now, wait. There was a robbery-murder case out there a while back in the little town of Fairweather.
Oh?
That's a few miles north of Enid, Oklahoma.
What happened?
Well, it was the messenger carrying some negotiable securities to the small bank there in Fairweather.
Ah, you get stuck for insurance on both the man and the securities?
Only on the messenger. The securities were returned.
By whom?
Well, neither the bank nor the police out there ever found out.
Funny. Do you suppose that's what Sidewinder called me about?
Well, there's only one way to find out, Johnny.
Which is to say that Floyd's of England will pay my expenses.
Well, now, within reason, of course.
Huh?
Well, why kid about it, Johnny? That freewheeling expense account of yours...
Oh, George, you sound as though you don't trust me.
Well, of course I do.
Oh? Well, you shouldn't.
Huh?
George, I'll be in touch. Expense account item 29730, transportation. The plane dropped me off at Enid, Oklahoma, shortly after 6 p.m. Item 3, $2 even for some food. Item 4, a 50-buck deposit on a drive-your-own car. I drove north on Highway 81, then, after some 27 miles and after crossing the Salt Fork of the Arkansas, which, much to my surprise, had a trickle of water in it, I turned left on the rough dirt road leading to Bum Spunk. Finally, there it was. The same 2 or 3 acres of poor, barren, sandy soil. The ramshackle house and the remains of a barn, leaning tiredly on the timbers that helped to prop it up. And out in front were the same 2 sad-looking cows, the old and weather-beaten horse, a friendly, mangy, toothless hound who shook himself as he got up out of the dust and proceeded to assert his authority. And I still couldn't figure why Durango, who was worth millions in oil royalties, had ever chosen to settle down in this lonely, desolate spot. And yet, thanks to Carol, his attractive niece, the inside of that huge, unpainted house was clean, modern, well-furnished. I wondered if Carol would show up, but I saw no sign of the sleek convertible she always drove. Swinging open the sagging wire gate, I wondered if the ancient Maxwell, parked at one side, belonged to Sidewinder Wilson. I didn't have to wonder for long.
Hey! Hey, you crazy old coot!
Yippee!
Sidewinder! What the Sam Hill's the matter with you?
Welcome to Bum Spunk, Johnny!
Oh, listen, you wild old character. Put that thing down or I'll start throwing some lead around myself.
With that little 38 lemon squeezer of yours?
Why, you...
No, sir, Johnny. You wouldn't stand a chance.
Well, now, what's the big idea?
Well, I just wanted to show you that when Durango leaves me in charge of his ranch, he leaves it in good hands. And also, I wanted you to feel real welcome around here.
Yeah.
Now, how are you, Johnny boy?
Well, still in one piece, no thanks to you. The crazy way you and Durango have of making somebody feel welcome around here. Where is he, by the way?
Well, first he went to Hartford to pay up on his insurance. Then he flew down to Washington.
Oh, what for?
Well, to pay up on his income taxes. He wanted to make sure he got them in the right hand.
Well, now, he didn't have to go to Washington for that.
He figures it makes it easier that way. He just carries along a big bundle of money and lets them take whatever they think is right.
Oh, no. Now, listen, Sidewinder.
Yeah?
Did you call me in connection with that bank messenger who was killed down in Fairweather?
That's right, Judge.
I understand the securities he carried were returned to the bank.
Yes, sir. They were sealed up in a big envelope and laid on the front doorstep of that bank. And what I figure, Johnny...
You figure that if I can find out who sent him back the securities... I'll have a lead on the killer.
That's right. And, Johnny, I know who sent him back.
You do?
Yeah.
You're sure?
Yeah.
Well, who, Sidewinder?
Me, Johnny.
What?
Yes, sir. Me.
Act two of yours truly, Johnny Dollar, in a moment. Are you going to write that letter today or put it off until tomorrow, or maybe the day after? How about that spring suit you plan to have altered? Will you take it to the tailor tomorrow morning bright and early, or will the week somehow glide by while the suit just hangs on in your closet? If you're a confessed procrastinator, you're not unique. The putting off habit can be mild or chronic, but some matters, serious matters, are highly dangerous to assign to mañana. One of the most important of these is getting protection from crippling, killing polio. When life-saving Salk vaccine was first introduced in 1955, it was hailed as a major medical discovery. Yet at the beginning of this current year, some 98 million Americans, the majority of our population, had not received even one inoculation. Why had all these people failed to take the simple measures necessary to gain protection from polio? If you are among them, this year, don't take a chance. Don't put off those polio shots any longer. Get in touch with your family doctor or local health department right away. And now, Act Two of yours truly, Johnny Dollar and the Fairweather Friend Matter.
Johnny, and I'll tell you about it.
Just let me get this straight, Sidewinder.
Huh?
The bank messenger down there in Fairweather was held up and murdered.
Yeah?
The securities he carried were stolen by the killer. Then they were returned to the bank.
That's right. And I'm the one who returned them.
Sidewinder, you... Now, look. Don't tell me that you're the one.
Me? Do you think that I'm the one that killed that messenger?
I didn't say that.
But that's what you were thinking, ain't it?
Well, you said yourself that whoever returned those securities...
I said whoever left them back at the bank. Now, just you stand real still, Johnny.
Oh, come on now. Put that thing down, Sidewinder.
Don't you move, none.
Look, will you listen to me?
And maybe you even better stop talking, or that Sidewinder rattlesnake coming toward you might take it into his head to... Easy now.
Oh, yeah. I can hear him.
Easy now, whilst I get a bead on him with this 30. A bead. Right in one eye, not t'other. And I'll just cut off his rattles and add them to my collection.
Oh, brother, thanks. No wonder they called you Sidewinder.
Yeah. That's the 427th rattle I've taken off these varmints. I just don't like them, Johnny. They ain't like Diamondback. These Sidewinders around here will sneak up on a man. Just like that dirty snake that killed the bank messenger. And you know why he done it, Johnny?
You still haven't told me who he is.
It was to collect that insurance on him, that's who.
Oh?
Yes, sir. The man that killed him was his heir. What you call his beneficiary.
How do you know, Sidewinder?
Because I lived on the Fairweather. That is, when I ain't up here looking after Durango's place.
Yeah?
And that's how come I knowed that Claude Needles, that was the messenger, left his insurance to that no-count nephew of his and that Barney Gifford. Sit down.
Barney Gifford, huh?
Yeah. So what I done was talk it over with Durango and Carol Dalhart.
Where is Carol, Sidewinder?
I've been waiting for you to ask that, Johnny. Oh, she'll be around.
Good.
You're kind of sweet on her, ain't you?
Well...
Nah, don't you try to fool me, Johnny boy. And you know how she feels about you, too. And if you don't think Durango knows, well, I'll tell you this.
You say you talked it over with
her. I'll tell you this, Johnny. Durango finds that you've been out here and went back to Hartford without hitching up with Carol.
Sidewinder, would you...
Well, I'll tell you this. He's liable to shotgun you into it if he catches you around here.
Oh.
And don't you try to tell me you wouldn't like being married to her, too.
Sidewinder.
Okay. So anyhow, me and Durango and Carol.
Carol.
Johnny, oh, I'm glad to see
Carol, I'm glad to see you.
Oh, then don't you stand there. Give me a kiss.
Oh, you think I need an engraved invitation? Come here. Oh, hi, honey.
Oh, don't stop, Johnny. It's been a long time.
If Durango could see this.
Oh, drop that, Sidewinder.
Yes, sir, he'd have that shotgun out so fast.
Oh, man.
Oh, it's been an awful long time, John.
Oh, too long.
I thought you were never coming back here.
I'm here.
Uh-huh. So let's make up for lost time.
Oh, why not?
Oh,
come on now. Come on, you kid.
Oh, it's good to see you.
Johnny, don't you want to hear the rest of what I was... Now, look at here. If you don't cut loose from each other there, you know what I'll do? I'll walk right out of here, and I'll go back to Fairweather. And I'll send a telegram to old Durango, and I'll tell him you two are making out like this all alone inside of his house. And if that don't bring him out here to get you two married...
Oh, why don't you mind your own business?
Well, I tell you...
You old goat. Why don't you go somewhere and get lost?
But that does it. I'm going right down to Fairweather and send him a telegram.
No. Just settle down there, Sidewinder.
I'll settle down, Johnny, with you any time, any place.
Oh, Carol, you're the only girl I know who makes me wish sometimes I was the marrying kind. But now listen.
I'll bet I can make you the marrying kind, Johnny. You like to give me a chance, huh?
Hey, that settles it. I'm leaving right now.
No, you aren't, Sidewinder.
Oh, let him go.
Let's just be sensible for a minute, will you?
I was trying to, Johnny.
I mean about this murder case.
And when we finish talking about it...
We'll see.
Well, then let me tell you about it. It won't take me so long. And Sidewinder, you stop making those silly eyes or I'll let you have one right between them.
Well, I still think I ought to leave.
So do I. But as long as you're already... Well, listen, Johnny.
I'm listening.
When Mr. Needles was killed, Sidewinder wanted them to make him a cop down there in Fairweather.
Or even just a deputy, so as I could go out and hunt for that killer. Claude Needles was a friend of mine.
But the police said no, they didn't need him, didn't want him.
So that made me sore.
So we talked it over about who could ever do a thing like that.
And that's when I remembered Barney Gifford would get the money from Claude's insurance.
So I told Sidewinder I'd have a date with Barney, and that would give him a chance to go through Barney's house and look for the security.
And I found him, Johnny, under a loose board in the floor.
Yes.
So, when he come home, I lassoed him, and I tied him up, and I took him and locked him up in the tool shed on my place.
You didn't turn him over to the police?
Oh, the chief in that little old hick town told Sidewinder that if he interfered in the case, he'd lock him up.
That's what he said.
Well, look, nevertheless,
and that's when Durango, just before he left to go to Hartford, always has to be there right on time, you know, with that insurance payment.
Yeah, I know.
Well, that's when Durango said to call you up on the phone.
Yep. Sidewinder.
Huh?
I thought that was your idea.
No, Durango's. And also for getting Johnny out here to see you again.
What?
Why, sure.
Well, who does Durango think he is trying to run my life that way? What kind of a trick is that to pull on? Just you wait until he gets back here.
Is that my cue to leave these parts, Carol?
Well, it certainly... Oh, no, of course not, Johnny, but... Well...
All right, now. Sidewinder, where is this Barney Gifford?
Locked up in my tool shed.
Well, who's looking after him?
Oh, Pete Whaley, I told him not to let on to the police.
You sure he can handle a man like Gifford?
Oh, yes, Sidewinder.
Well, I don't see why
not. Hey, look, maybe we'd better drive on down there.
Well, sure, sure, but wait till I answer that phone. Probably Durango saying to hold on to you, Johnny. He's probably on his way.
If that's Durango, you tell him I've left.
Hello?
Now, you don't mean that,
huh?
Johnny.
Mm.
I bet Durango really would make you marry me.
Oh, Carol.
Would that be so bad? Hmm. Johnny.
Johnny. Carol.
Oh, why don't you stay on that... Sidewinder, what's the matter?
Listen. That was old Pete.
Yeah?
Barney got loose. Like to kill old Pete.
Oh, no.
And now Barney's coming here. Coming for me. To kill me.
Act three of yours truly, Johnny Dollar, in a moment.
Be sociable. Look smart. Keep up to date with Pepsi. Drink light, refreshing.
When friends drop in, let your hospitality show you're sociable in the modern manner. Pepsi, you know, is the favorite of the smart and young at heart.
Be sociable, look smart, keep up to date with Pepsi. Drink light, refreshing Pepsi.
Have you tried a Pepsi lately?
And now, Act Three of yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Okay, then, if Barney Gifford's coming here, we'll be ready for him. We'll... Sidewinder, you aren't afraid of him, are you?
He's a bad one, Johnny.
But if Sidewinder was able to subdue him before...
Well, I caught him off guard, Johnny. He didn't have no gun then, but he has now. He took old Pete.
And Barney's a deadly shot. It's the only good thing you can say about him.
And don't you see, it's dark outside now. If we stay around here inside the house, we'll be like a flock of sitting ducks.
Yeah, but I don't think we'll stay inside.
You mean we'll just run away from him?
No, no. How long ago did he get away from Pete?
Well, Pete says it was more than an hour ago.
And we haven't any time to waste.
What are you going
to
do, Johnny?
I know what you're going to do, Carol.
Yes?
Get out of here. Go on back to Enid. Tell the police. By the time they can get up here, Sidewinder and I will either have things under control or... Well, then they can take over.
Why don't you phone the police?
Because I'm telling you to go on down there.
You're just trying to get me away from here, aren't you?
That's right.
No, Johnny. I can shoot just as good as you and Sidewinder, and there's plenty of guns in the back room.
No, Carol, that doesn't make any difference.
You think I'm going to leave you here with a killer after old Sidewinder, and if Barney finds you with him, he'll try to kill you,
Carol,
too.
Will you
I won't go, Johnny. I won't leave
you. Okay. We're just wasting time. I haven't seen any car lights out on the road, but that doesn't mean that...
That's right, mister. It doesn't mean a thing.
Damn.
The front door had been pushed open by the barrel of a high-powered rifle that slowly fanned the three of us. I knew that if I made a move to draw my handgun, if Sidewinder took a step toward his 30-30 on the table, and if Barney was the excellent shot that Carol said he was...
All right. Put your hands up and come walking out this door.
Listen, Barney,
give it... Do like I say.
Come on, Carol. Sidewinder.
Come on. Come on, don't try anything.
All right, Barney.
Not so brave now that I got the advantage, are you, Sidewinder?
All right. If you gotta kill somebody, kill me. You leave them alone.
Now that they know all about me? No, sir. I'm gonna kill all of you like I killed old Pete. Now, stop.
You keep your dirty hands off of me, you...
Keep them up, Carol. So you're not carrying a gun. I know that Sidewinder never carries it. But you do, don't you, mister? Thanks. And I think I'll use it to kill you. So if you want to put your hands down to pray...
Well, Sidewinder...
Yes, Johnny?
You think maybe this is retribution for that killing you did today?
Killing, Johnny?
Yeah, when I first got here. You remember...
Oh.
I don't know what you're talking about, mister. But I'm not going to waste any time.
Barney,
shut up, Carol. You're going to go first.
All right, now listen, Gifford.
And you, mister. And last of all, Sidewinder. Huh? What's that?
It's a snake.
It's a rattler. It's back of you, Sidewinder.
No. No. It's over next to Barney.
Where? Where? I can't see it. Where is it? I'll kill it. Where is it?
Right here.
Oh.
Oh, but that snake...
Oh, thanks, Sidewinder.
I'm sure glad I saved these rattles, Johnny.
What?
Yeah, so am I.
But I never would have remembered them if you hadn't reminded me about killing that snake.
You know something? I hated to leave that place. To leave Carol is what I really mean. But there was another phone call. Sidewinder answered it. And yep, it was from Durango, phoning from Enid. Durango was so tickled to learn I was still around that he promised to come out to the ranch as fast as he could.
Yeah, sure, just as soon as he can pick up the preacher.
Sidewinder.
Well, much as I love that gal. Well, expense account total, including the trip back to Hartford and mileage on the rental car, $203.50. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Our star will return in just a moment.
Be careful. You're going to land in the bathtub.
Who's driving this flying saucer, you or me?
Well, what do you see?
Oh, germs. Millions and millions of germs.
Sure. Here on Earth, disease, germs, and viruses live in bathrooms.
Wait. Here comes a lady. She's putting a dash of Lysol in with those suds, and she's mopping the floor. Wow. Look at those germs and viruses drop dead.
Boy, are you stupid. I thought all Martians knew that Lysol brand disinfectant kills disease, germs, and many deadly viruses on contact. Disinfects from one cleaning to the next as nothing else can.
That's right. I remember my 7 grandmothers saying Lysol makes your favorite cleaner work better, including many that claim to sanitize.
I'm sorry you learned to speak English by listening to commercials.
And Lysol comes in regular or pine fragrance for as little as 29 cents.
How much is that Martian money?
Now, here is our star to tell you about next week's story.
Next week. Well, getting away from Durango Laramie Dalhart isn't as easy as you might think. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, originates in Hollywood and is written, produced, and directed by Jack Johnstone. Heard in our cast were Virginia Gregg, Junius Matthews, G. Stanley Jones, James McCallion, and Bill James. Be sure to join us next week, same time and station, for another exciting story of yours truly, Johnny Dollar. This is Dan Cumberly speaking.
Suspense is next over the CBS Radio Network.
WAUTO W, Albany, New York. 10, 10, 10.
Yes, 10 hours of price-shattering bargains at Henry S. Mantell Furniture, 343 River Street, Troy. This merchandise must be sold at once, at savings to you of up to 87%. Mantell's was unable to extend their Latham store lease, so the stock from the Latham store has been moved to Mantell's main store in Troy. Save on famous brand merchandise, Haywood Wakefield, Crailer, Simmons, Norge, Motorola, and many more. Buy a $339.95 two-piece living room suite for $199.95, or a $34.95 famous make inner spring mattress for $17.88, or a modern bedroom set, regularly $259.95, now $139.95. This tremendous sale at Henry S. Mantell Furniture begins Monday, 6 p.m. to 11 p.m., and Tuesday, 6 p.m. to 11 p.m. The store will be closed during the day to mark down merchandise and arrange stock. Remember, there's no money down at Henry S. Mantell Furniture, 343 River Street, Troy.
That was The Fairweather Friend, Bob Bailey as yours truly, Johnny Dollar, episode 632, with an original air date of the 12th of April, 1959. Like I indicated at the top of the show, according to On the Air, the Encyclopedia of Old Time Radio, yours truly, Johnny Dollar, had more lives than a cat, apparently during its 14 seasons and 5 or 6 star changes. They were canceled and renewed. They encountered all kinds of issues. But the one I just played, by all accounts, Bob Bailey is considered the best star of the series. Didn't last much longer after he retired. I think he lasted the longest as well. I forget. Everything is discombobulated here in this COVID-19, in this lockdown, and trying to record from home and having equipment malfunctions and all this sort of thing. But you've been listening to Arthur here in the Grand Hour on 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org, Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. Still got a few minutes. I'll play something out. I just don't know what it'll be. Thanks for listening.
These are somewhat later. This is Perfection. Oh, lovely apple. Beautifully and completely rotten. Hardly a contour marred. Perhaps a little shriveled at the top, but that aside, perfect in every detail. Oh, lovely apple. What a deep and suffusing brown mantles that unspoiled surface. No one has moved you since I placed you there on the porch rail a month ago to ripen. No one. No one.
So much depends upon their red wheelbarrow, glazed with rainwater beside the white chickens. The bull. It is in captivity, ringed, haltered, chained to a drag, the bull is godlike. Unlike the cows, he lives alone, nozzles the sweet grass gingerly to pass the time away. He kneels, lies down, and stretching out a foreleg, licks himself about the hoof, then stays with half-closed eyes, Olympian commentary on the bright passage of days. The round sun smooths his lacquer through the glossy pine trees, his substance hard as ivory or glass, through which the wind yet plays. Milkless he nods, the hair between his horns and eyes matted with hyacinthine curls. Paul. As the cat climbed over the top.
Due to COVID-19, WMFO DJs are pre-recording their shows for broadcast on air.
We can still accept phone calls, but the phone line is in voicemail mode. Call 855-915-9636 and be sure to leave the DJ's name in the voicemail so we can forward it to the correct person. The following program was recorded earlier. Enjoy.